Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John underscore Kirby. Today is Monday, February 22nd. Back to Mondays.
Look at us.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll start with the personal stuff. As you guys are not aware, I have been in Florida on East Coast time for the past 2 months. And him back to Chicago, and I gotta say, John, It's not as awesome here.
Yeah.
No, it's certainly much colder.
I don't even, I don't feel anything for you. I'm sorry. you had an amazing thing happen, and now you're back to reality. You don't get my sympathy as I sat here, you know, trying to figure out how snowblowers work.
Oh my God. Yeah. You picked an awesome year to buy a house.
So the other fun thing about snowblowers that I learned is that not only do you get a task that you think makes things easier, but in fact probably takes just as long, you also get to smell like gasoline the rest of the day. So it's like a double bonus. It's pretty cool.
It's a two for one. That's amazing. Wow. Yeah, cannot wait. I came back to literal feet of snow in and around basically the entire place that I live. I don't know. But here I am, John. Listen, we're back. So we're probably back to the Monday recording schedule. And Michigan State back to its, historically, not this season, back to its winning ways after beating Indiana. What was it, 78-71? You know, John, if I had to describe this win, it feels very much like that spelling bee gif with the kid who wins and the confetti's going off around him and he's just complete and totally emotionless. That's more or less how I felt after this game.
Well, my dog hated
it. I have a feeling you feel the same way. Yeah, your dog hated it too.
I won't. You know what it reminds me of? I don't even know what movie it's from, but it just says, "Why won't you just die?" That is Michigan State basketball. And that they came back.
I believe that's Austin Powers, just for the record.
There it is. Thank you. Yeah. I think they did something. Time out.
I'll jump in. This is the most perfectly the only podcast moment. So my actual takeaways, I think there were some, I know this is, I'll apologize in advance for saying some nice things about this team, but there were some things to take away from this game that I thought were not overly doom and gloom, kick yourself in the face, type of moments. And I think specifically, and this won't, you know, not exactly groundbreaking commentary here, but, what Aaron Henry was able to do, I wasn't that, call it impressed, because you know he's able to do that. I think it was more like one of those moments where I was kind of like, finally. Not even just that, oh, finally you're making shots, oh, finally, whatever. It's just finally, he wasn't settling for threes. He wasn't like turning the ball over a billion times. He was just being assertive and going to the rack, which is something we've talked about. Is not the only person who's been doing that and been doing it with complete and total ineffectiveness was Rocket Watts. But Aaron Henry kind of sacked up and really played what I thought was probably one of his two or three best games of the season.
Yeah, he did. Well, he played all 40, which was the first time anyone gone the full distance. So credit to him, which sure won't have any negative effects in the next however many games over where they're playing like back NBA schedule, but cross those bridges later. You know, he had 27 points. The things that jumped out to me were most career free throw attempts of the season, of his career, 9. And, two of them came getting fouled at the end. But he is finally learning how to get fouled. And if MSU wants a chance to beat any of these remaining teams on the schedule, the good ones, he is going to have to do more than score. You have to score and have an effect on the other team and, like, getting people into foul trouble. Because top to bottom, talent-wise, this roster can't hang with the teams that the six remaining games we have for we'll get into. So he did something that was kind of like, okay, like that's new. And they ran this ISO sets for Aaron where, you know, one of his, he takes a very difficult, like short post jumpers and is able to elevate over people and score. That's pretty impressive. And he can kind of do it over either shoulder. And they just said, let's stop trying to do anything else than the stuff that works. And I'm like, hey, Tom, congrats, man. It's only been 20 games, but at least we're trying something. And between that and the other great thing I saw was if people aren't having effective games, then you don't need to play them anymore, like at all. And we saw Joey Hauser get benched. We saw Malik Hall get benched. Julius Marble get benched and let everyone else just play and get into some type of rhythm together. That rhythm is something that Gabe Brown desperately needs, by the way. He needs to get into the game rhythm to be effective. He was. Where it's going to get a little dicey is that, you know, he and Rocket and frankly Josh Langford can't play on-ball defense to save their soul. But, you know, at a certain point, you just got to roll the dice and hope for the best. You know, Rob Phinisee and Al Durham went 0-for-10 from three, held a decent Indiana team to 4-for-19 from deep, a decent three-point shooting team, I should say. So I think that's what you kind of need to do is you got to pick some gambling spots and go with them at this point. You know, let teams beat you in ways that they isn't their first option, and if they can, bummer, but at least you're in control of the narrative. And we've talked about this at the beginning of the season, that MSU never had an identity. They never made people react. And I think this game, maybe for the first time, they made Indiana, they took a punch from Indiana. And I think that was pretty encouraging because you were talking about Trace Jackson Davis had 34, like didn't have an answer for him, but it really didn't matter. Like everybody else, on Indiana just was kind of a non-factor with this exception of maybe Race, but what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Race Thompson, I think does deserve some credit. He played pretty well and, you know, coming out of this game, I think your point about Aaron was spot on. Like he kind of dictated what was happening. And I think in a normal year where MSU is pretty comfortably in the tournament at this point in time, and you're really more playing for seeding, even if it's not the league, like, you know, that's one thing where you look at and you think, oh, in the future, like, wow, that's a great adjustment by Izzo. He, you know, that's really could be something that gets utilized moving forward and make a big difference. But like, it feels like, I guess technically it's not, but it feels very just like day late, dollar short. Like, mm-hmm. What I want to know is where in the world was this for the rest of, where was this against, like, and again, like, where was this against Iowa the other week? Where was this against any, like, Rutgers when they lost by 30? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm glad they've made the change, and I hope to see it continue, which is a whole nother thing. Like, I have no idea if this is going to happen again because this team is apparently completely different from game to game. But you know, it's great. I'm thrilled. I love that it's Aaron Henry, but like it's almost March and we're celebrating our 12th win of the entire season. And, you know, so it's very like, okay, cool. But day late, dollar short. I mean, to me, it was also great. I think you made a good point about Gabe Brown. Like Gabe Brown needs to be the guy that he was in this game. Getting like we've complained about him only ever really doing one thing in his career. That storyline certainly hasn't changed, but like at least if he's only going to do one thing, you got to be able to do it like well. And he was finally able to do it very, very well in this game. The other thing that again, to talk about the negatives, like I think the biggest thing for me is that these bigs, all of them, every big on Michigan State's team is not good. And that's not to say that there isn't a positive future for several of them, but like here and now today, you have your best big is probably, and I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but it's probably Marcus Bingham. And he is at best a below average player. And he is the only one when you're out there, aside from Julius Marble at times, that you're like, okay, at least they're bringing kind of like something to the table and they don't look just totally completely and totally lost. Like, I think the other thing to note here is that this is a great win. I mean, once again, Michigan State, it's also worth noting, got off to a very slow start, but at least was able to kind of figure it out and end up winning the game. But Indiana's bad. Yeah. I don't think that should be lost. I mean, a win is a win for MSU at this point. There's no, you know, you take every single one of them that you can get. But Indiana's bad. Like, Indiana's really not a good team. Trace Jackson Davis is quite good. Extreme, yeah. Like, very good. I don't really know why he's ranked in the 50s of most people's draft boards. Like, he's nice. Like, he's really nice, and I think he's got a really bright future because he's got a nice looking stroke too.
Dude, so the thing about Trace that kind of bugs me is like, not bugs
his
me,
hair.
You see him kind of dominating our bigs. When I say dominating, I mean like able to get the shots he wanted for the most part. The only guy that was putting him in uncomfortable positions was Thomas Kithier. And I'm like, why? You know, like, this kid isn't, I mean, he's 6'9". He plays bigger than he is. Trace Jackson Davis does. He plays much bigger than 6'9". And you just kind of look at our team and you're kind of like, what are we doing wrong? I will say I loved the way Matty Sissoko rebounded in this game. He hunts for the ball. Like, he snaps. Mm-hmm. You see Marcus Bingham rebound the way that third graders do. Like, you reach your hands up high and hope the ball comes to it. This kid hunts that thing. And we haven't seen a ball hawk rebounder emerge from this team. We talked about it at the beginning, Austin. There's only one guy on the team that is capable of doing multiple things well. So everyone needs to stop trying to do multiple things well and just do one. And like, Marcus Bingham, if you want to play, just do one thing well. Like, Matty Sissoko, same thing. You know, Gabe Brown, same thing. If you're not going to evolve, then at the very least, let's just maximize your strength.
Well, right? And that comes back again to me. That's coaching. And that's why that is up to the coaches to put players in positions where if you're only going to be good at that one thing, these coaches should know that you're only going to be good at that one thing and make sure that even if you get better at other things, you are in a position to maximize beyond a shadow of a doubt that one thing that you are specifically very good at. So that again, we've said it so many times, but like, that's where you come back to this team. And I'm like, this is, I blame the players certainly, but like, this really, this season more than anything to me is just a abject failure in coaching and player development. So, I mean, it's nice to see them do better, certainly, but that's, yeah.
Well, Austin, here's the thing, which is exciting for the team. Do you remember, was it maybe 2 years ago? I think 2 years ago. And the Big Ten was so bad that Nebraska couldn't get in the tournament. Because even though they tied for like fourth in the cup, remember, there were no good wins to go find. They're available. Like, Michigan State, despite being 11-9, 5-9 in the conference, and February 22nd, still has a path to the tournament. Multiple opportunities, not like one game to circle that gets them in, like four. And you don't have to win all of them. Like, you need to win two of them. So the fact that it's still on the table is exciting, but you know, you had a point back there about Indiana not being good. I think that's been like lost in this season of the Big Ten being a really solid conference. You know, there's a lot of really good teams, a lot of Final Four capable teams. The fact that Indiana just kind of has floated along as mediocre to bad, at what point is like Archie Miller gonna face the music? He's got to, by all intents and purposes, he's been disappointing, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't think you can look at his tenure here and think anything less. I mean, you know, you and I were kind of talking about it before we jumped on here, and that, you know, everybody was so quick to run Tom Crean out of town. Mm-hmm. And yet he won the Big Ten 2 times in 4 years. He had, I think it was a one seed that, yeah, they underachieved in the tournament. But this, at the end of the day,
they lost to Syracuse. Like, who among us?
Right. Yeah. Whomst, I ask you, has not found themselves in that exact same situation. I just wonder how much longer he can skate. Like, if you're going to be, this just reminds me very much of the, of a Lloyd Carr situation, of a Bo Pelini situation, where it's a fan base that for whatever reason sees themselves as, we should be winning the league every single year, and doesn't take time to zoom out and be like, well, actually this guy's pretty good. And he's been getting us these really good recruits, and we've actually been winning the league quite a bit. And like, they just, everybody gets so caught up in the moment when you lose one big, you know, one bad game in the tournament, and now all of a sudden you're stuck with Archie Miller. And I just don't don't know. And the thing, everybody wants to crush Tom Crean because he's a bad in-game coach, which again, don't disagree with. This dude is going to bring you talent every single year. And, you know, I mean, look, he just put the number one pick in the league at from Georgia. Like, Georgia basketball just had the number one pick in the NBA. That's got to be worth something to you. Like, you know.
Did you see the dunk?
Oh, my God. The foundation of my house almost broke in half because I was screaming so loud after that dunk. That was whoa. That was whoa. And I remember watching him last year when MSU played him and being like, this dude is really good. I didn't see that in his game, though.
He was a problem against us. I certainly don't need to relive that. But there was at least, when we were watching it, at least we were like, that guy's like really good. Like, he's I can live with this. The fact that he's dropped like 30 doing just dumb stuff. Pulling from logos. Yeah. Tom Crean, look, we love to dog the guy, but like, it got a little egregious. And in Bloomington, we've long talked about them not having any awareness. And this is what you bought. Like, you got rid of Tom Crean, and that's fine if you had a great idea. Like, if you were going to go like pull a rabbit out of a hat and steal like Mark Few, or like, you know what I mean? Like, if you had a plan, that's fine. But you didn't. You went and got a guy who coached at Dayton and was good, but you know, got to the second weekend once in his career. So, like, really? That's the guy? Anyway, whatever. It's not our problem. But you know, we get Indiana again, and it shouldn't be noted that, you know, we're dogging Archie, but he did have Tom's number these past couple of years.
Yeah, true. I mean, I was actually thinking about that the other day, today. And, you know, I would have traded this win for a win in a previous year, I think. Even though they need it worse this year, in previous years, this would have been the one that made the rest of the year when, you know, you felt like things were really coming together. I mean, I guess you did win the Big Ten all those years, but one or two could have been outrights.
Consider, Austin, if he doesn't get those wins, how much hotter did his seat become? Like, those were signature victories for him in the past.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So we may be facing a competent coach at Indiana if by accident, if not there. So just consider the butterfly effect of your proclamation.
You're right. I'm sorry. you're correct. Good point. Go ahead.
So let's move. Let's move off of Indiana, because we'll dog them for another 30 minutes probably next week, because MSU plays again soon. One other note that we thought was worth talking about is Tom Izzo made a comment to Brennan Quinn of The Athletic and mentioned that guys are up for an audition right now. You've got to see progress, so there's going to be changes. That's the way it is in a world, with this way it is in the world. A scholarship is a two-way street. We have an obligation to you. You have an obligation to us. So he has very clearly put on the primer of the walls of what is going to be processing. Like, that's happening. And I can't remember MSU processing anybody. And that term meaning, like, you signed a guy, the assumption is it's going to be for, until that person graduates. You know, scholarships are year to year, but it's kind of unsaid that they go for the distance. When you move guys along so that you can bring in other new guys, that hasn't, in my recollection, happened at Michigan State too often. And can you think of it?
No, absolutely not.
Guys have transferred, but
yeah, sure. Guys have left, but it's never been at the urge, at least to our knowledge, never been because someone is coming in behind them and we're like, hey, yeah, so we don't have the room. Like, to my understanding, that's absolutely not happened. I'm sure someone will come up with an example and we'll feel dumb, but which is commonplace. But I'm wondering if Tom hasn't just maybe gotten a little too close to Mel Tucker and isn't just seeing what he's doing and like, thinking, hey, wait a minute. Now hold on. Looks fun.
You're telling me I can bring in new guys that are better immediately and just tell the other guys not to go away and it just happens? Wait.
Like right now I can do that? Are you serious? Nobody told me this. It's been 23 years.
He's screaming at his assistants right now.
He's standing in Bill Beekman's office just berating him. What is going on? It's funny because I think the old heads, you heard that and like part of me was kind of like, whoa, that's very direct. And I think if he had said that, call it 10 years ago, I think people would have been up in arms. And I still think we saw some of that, to be honest with you.
Which I
get. And you know, really the line that jumped out at me was the, you have an obligation to us. We as much as we have an obligation to you. And that's definitely not true. You should be able to, like, in my opinion, you should honor the,
I agree,
honor the scholarship that they signed. Like, obviously you have an obligation. I think the obligation that a player has is to attempt to get better, be involved, but like, it's not that none of these guys are doing that. It's not like they're not doing that.
Let's talk about guys that maybe weren't as committed as others in the past. And I'm not picking on folks, but I remember one Corey Lucius, maybe not as.
That's exactly who I was going to say. I was going to say Corey enjoyed other recreations potentially more than he enjoyed his basketball.
So, like, I kind of get that one, like, where you'd be like, okay, this guy clearly is kind of doing his own thing. I don't know if, and obviously we're not there, I don't know if it just doesn't look like people aren't as engaged. I guess you could argue, like, I don't know, Rocket Watts or Joey, like, guys that look engaged, but it doesn't mean they aren't, like, working their ass off. Who knows? We don't know. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, we're fully speculating, but I think that his message was very direct and honestly probably applies to just about everybody on this team. I think in particular, the guys that he's referring to are probably mostly in the front court, if I had to guess. The reason being, as we've talked about, no one's really no one's been able to step forward and claim any type of role. And there's still a logjam. And I think that in turn, it's like a chicken and the egg type of thing where the logjam has created the lack of consistent playing time, but it's exacerbated by the fact that no one's made the most of the playing time they've been able to get. So it's like, okay, guys, we got to thin the herd here. Like, someone's got to go. Even if, Enoch Boache is not coming in, there still needs to be some type of change moving forward into next year. And frankly, there's a numbers crunch. Like, if you just do the math, we've talked about it here before, like, someone's got to go. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's got to go. And again, we are going to speculate a little bit here. I would be shocked personally if all four of Marcus Bingham, Thomas Kithier, Matty Sissoko, and Malik Hall are all, and Julius Marble. So those five, I would be surprised. Really kind of actually get rid of Malik Hall out of there, add Marble in. Those four, I'll be very surprised if all four of them are back on the roster next year. Yeah. I just don't know how it happens.
It's it would be, I would be surprised too. Let's just leave it there because I don't even know where to start. And I think a lot of it will be determined here with the remaining games. Mm-hmm. Everyone will see, you know, who is, if anyone emerges, and if no one does, at the very least, who the minutes are being allocated to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I do like that at least, you know, if nothing else, that Izzo's kind of like willing to address the future now. Like, he doesn't do this, like you said, the processing, all that stuff. Like, he doesn't do this. And for him to come out and say it means it almost like, it's almost like I wish he would have said this 5 games ago, because honestly, because it obviously put a charge into these guys for them to realize, like, oh, wait, I'm not just going to be able to skate by. Like, I'm competing for my job in a way. Like, you saw energy out of these guys and resilience and maybe mental fortitude that they haven't shown in other games. And, you know, you almost wish he would have come out and just, you know, because we've said before with this team, like, oh, are they that mentally tough? It's like, well, he challenged them and they answered. So I think he's like babying them.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe they haven't needed to be babied. And I know Izzo said, hey, I'm stepping out here, but at the same time, he's like, obviously not. So it's, I don't know. I wish he would have done this five weeks ago, and this team maybe could have answered the bell at that point.
But maybe. Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned they got the work collectively from Trayce Jackson-Davis. Yeah. They'll have an opportunity. Go ahead.
I said the absolute work. They got smoked by Trayce Jackson-Davis.
I want to say that was a career high for Trayce.
I mean, what was it? He had scored 34?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, if it's not, it's damn close. So,
but
and none of it looked particularly difficult.
Like it. Well, and then we watched Trevion Williams do whatever he felt like doing.
There's a theme.
Yeah, not great. But,
but they did win.
The good news or bad news, depending on your point of view, is that Kofi Coburn comes to town. Mm. And he is probably, not probably, he is the largest specimen that I think I've ever seen pound for pound in college basketball. Like, and I did a search today, Austin. I think I sent you 7 different faces of guys who I tried to find someone pound for pound that was larger than him in college basketball this year. You know, there's nobody. He is 7 feet tall, 285 pounds. Like, I can't even like get my head around that.
And I'm a little worried for what he's going, like physically what he could do to Marcus Bingham.
Well, so let's talk about size differential. Bingham is 1 inch shorter and 60 pounds less.
Yeah. If you think Marcus Bingham is 220 pounds, I have a bridge to sell you.
Matty Sissoko is 3 inches and 50 pounds fewer.
Okay.
Thomas Kithier, 4 inches and 55 pounds fewer. And Julius Marble is 4 inches and 60 pounds fewer than him. So it's Kofi averages 18 points a game, leads the league in rebounds with over 10 a game, 1.5 blocks. And the worst part is he's not the best player on his team. He's not even close. Ayo Dosunmu averages 21 plus 6 rebounds on his own, 5 assists, leads the league, and shoots 42% from 3. And here's a thing that I'm not sure if anyone outside of Champaign is arguing, but I think there's a very good case to have Ayo Dosunmu as the Big Ten Player of the Year over Luka Garza.
Now, I completely agree with you. I think this was a regular year I just feel like if college basketball was more prominent in the national conversation right now, which it usually is at this time of year. Mm-hmm. He would be, this would be a big argument because I absolutely think he deserves it. I mean, to be honest with you, like Iowa, I know it's not about individual statistics not about team success. It's more about individual statistics, but Ayo Dosunmu does so much more for his team on both ends of the floor than Garza does, and his team is just significantly better. The other part of it is he came back for this too, just like Garza, did. And his team isn't following the same script that it has always followed, which is exactly what Garza's team is doing and did last year when he won Player of the Year. So, or he didn't. No, he did win Player of the Year, didn't he? He beat
Big Ten. Yeah, Big Ten. Obi Toppin would be your national
pick. Well, yeah, sure.
Which I'm sure, fine with.
Decent guy. But yeah, so I think Dosunmu deserves all that credit. And like I said, he came back for this. Like, I've been a fan of his since high school. And to see him expand his game and, like you said, shoot over 40% from three, if you had to find a weak spot in his game, it seemed like before that it was probably, you know, you wanted him to settle for threes. You can't do that anymore. He's still the fastest point guard out there. He's still got size. He can still check. He can still, you know, do everything else you need a point guard to do.
And he's 6'5".
And he's 6'5". I think he's played his way into, you know, top 20 NBA pick conversation. And I think, I'll put it this way. If he was having this year last year, in last year's draft, I think you would have gotten a lot of talk for him. You know, the Pistons took Killian Hayes 7th. I think he would have been very much in that conversation if this was last year instead of this year.
Yeah. I mean, the kid looks...
He's a star.
He just looks different. You know what I mean? Like, you can just kind of tell, you know, when somebody's, like, just kind of better. So he's a joy to watch. Unfortunately, you know, Aaron Henry is like a Diet Coke A.O. Dosunmu.
He's like an RC Cola.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's can't handle the ball as well, can't shoot as well.
Not as athletic.
Yeah, not as athletic. And Aaron Henry's a damn good player. So that's what MSU is up against. I think, you know, you talk about, you know, where is Illinois at? They were in a weird spot. I mean, there was a moment where I think everyone just kept giving them the benefit of the doubt, but frankly, they were 9-5 at a point in the season. And their losses, you know, they did lose to Baylor, which, fine, that's allowed.
Yeah, that's
allowed. Then they lost to, you know, Missouri, which was okay, and you're like, whatever. And then they lost to Rutgers, and, like, that was when Rutgers was, like, still okay, and you're like, hey. And then they lost to Maryland, and all of a sudden everyone's like, okay, what are we doing here? But since their loss to Ohio State, they ripped off 7 in a row, but I just don't know who to expect sometimes with them. You know, they took they went to overtime with Indiana, yuck. Went to double overtime with Nebraska. How?
Yeah. In what sport?
Beat the brakes off of Wisconsin. Beat the absolute hell out of Minnesota, who's reeling right now, but still. And you're like, you're just kind of like, when Illinois decides they want to do it, they are as good at I might get killed for this. I think that they can hang with the Gonzagas and the Baylors. You know, we saw them hang with Baylor actually until they didn't, but they have the talent to do it. So, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to go, that just doesn't mean they'll get out of the second or to the first weekend of the tournament, but you just don't know who you're going to get. And if Michigan State wants to compete with Illinois, in my opinion, they got to get a little lucky with foul trouble. Like, AO needs to get in foul trouble, or Kofi needs to get in foul trouble. And MSU needs to make a point at trying to do that. And that's just where I stand.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And I think, you know, if MSU wants to win this game, it's I think this is kind of just the standing line from here on out. You need the Aaron Henry that you saw against Indiana if you want to beat any good teams. Well, like, that to me is right. That's starters. Like, you need more than that, obviously. But I think if this team doesn't have the margin for error where if they don't get that out of Aaron and they don't get that honestly or close to that out of Gabe Brown, you simply just don't have enough this year to pull those types of games off. It's just not something that they have. So, you know, with that being said, you need Aaron Henry to go at Dosunmu or whoever it is that ends up guarding him. I think the biggest flaw this year is that, I think, you know, the getting Dosunmu into foul trouble play is a good one to run. The problem is I don't know that you can deploy that same thing against Coburn because you just don't have a big that or at least if you're going to try to deploy that plan, you've already lost the game, to be honest with you. Like if you're planning to give it to any of these bigs and say, hey, go get him in foul trouble, then you're like, okay, like don't even go to the game, because that's the game plan. You've already lost, because you just don't have that guy this year. If Xavier Tillman's there, then you can, sure. I think you can go right at him, but you just simply don't have this year. So I think this is actually similar to Indiana, where you kind of, if you got to pick your poison between those two, you let Coburn eat, and that's just how it's going to go. Then you got to try to take away one of those two. And I think you just looking, you know, reading the tea leaves here, the only one you really have a shot at is Dosunmu. But we'll really see a lot about this team. I think we know this team pretty well at this point, but like if they truly feel the desperation and if they actually want to fight, then they literally don't have any more time to wait. They might have already waited too long. But we'll see how well they deal with that desperation. And honestly, to me, you know, if they were somehow able to pull it off, like then you can actually start, you know, having some type of, hey, could this team actually like manage to sneak it in, type of conversation. But you got to see a win like this first, because I mean, you can't possibly say like, hey, I'm confident they're going to build on this win from this weekend and really do something good moving forward. Because the last time they've had wins that we even got remotely excited about, they turned around and were, mm-hmm. and got waxed by 30 something. So, you know, we'll see, because I'll put it this way, to put it more succinctly, last time they had this opportunity, they lost by 30 at home.
Yep.
Facts. So we'll see. And I mean, they got two great opportunities this week. So I think, well, you know, it's all in front of you.
Well, before we talk about Ohio State, maybe we should take a break and we'll come back and chat Buckeye preview and then finish it out with some football news.
I think that's a great idea, John. Here we go. Okay, and we're back.
All right. So Ohio State
basketball. Usually we start this like second piece like really excited and happy, but we still have to talk more basketball.
So Ohio State doing an unfair thing, being also good at basketball, which is, I don't love it, guys. You know,
I don't care for it. I think it's selfish.
Like, so they're apparently a top five team, which, yeah, cool. They 18-5, 12-5 in the conference. Currently the most efficient offense in their last 10 games in the country. So they're pretty good, Austin. You know, all things considered, the top half of the Big Ten is just it's a nightmare, man. The Buckeyes, you know, their best player, we've talked about him a little bit before, but EJ Liddell has taken a huge jump, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And maybe one that I wasn't definitely not expecting. Shame on me, I suppose. But, you know, got a little 3-point to his game now, at least respectively. And Skoto can inside and out. I don't know. Did you catch any? Have you catch any of their games lately?
You know, I've seen a handful of them play, but I haven't watched them as closely as I have before. But I will say what's impressed me the most about them is the coaching. I mean, mm-hmm. once again, like Chris Holtman came into this year where if things didn't go totally right, you maybe start hearing some things, having some conversations. And honestly, this year he came in without the Wessons, you know, Caleb Wesson, huge part of their team the last 3 or 4 years. You lost that. And I mean, you know, maybe this was the Carson Edwards addition by subtraction I was going for all those years ago. But just genuinely impressed in the job Chris Holtman has done. You know, it's not surprising. I mean, he's been good all the way since the day he got there, but that little dip, like some coaches don't survive that little dip when the honeymoon period's over. But obviously he is well past that now. And Ohio State is primed to be a really good team. And I think, you know, this is a big, again, a really big test for MSU, a game two days after either you have a massive win against Illinois and maybe you're starting to think about the future, or it's going to be, you know, you're going to have missed one more chance and truly be as desperate as you could possibly be, perhaps to the point of being beyond desperation. So I think that stage for this game is equally as interesting as the actual game itself.
The tough part, too, is, you know, they will have Sunday through Thursday off, whereas MSU will be playing a game in between. So when you talk about Aaron Henry's minutes, and it's just going to you're going to need something from other people, or you're asking Aaron Henry to be playing at an NBA level, both on the court and minutes wise. So that's the tough thing to swallow. It is a home game. I know that's if anything, you know, there is, you know, without fans, the logistics of it kind of are apparently in the favor of the home team. But yeah, you're talking about, you know, between EJ Little, Dwayne Washington, and Justice Swing, I think that's how you say his last name, Suing. It's a nice team. And then there's Kyle Young too. So he's a tough dude.
Kyle Young, who gives me very angsty alt band vibes. Like, that's what I get some like weird, I don't want to say Creed, because it's really not Creed. It's more of like Slayer, like sort of just like, yeah, like sort of like these weird angsty, hey, I've already committed to the tattoo, so I'm just not going to stop now vibes. And I really think the goatee has a lot to do with it. So probably. That's my general opinion of him.
I already talked about how good they are on the offensive end. They don't turn the ball over. I guess if there's one knock against them is they generally don't turn other people over, much like Michigan State. So to play it, to beat these guys, MSU has died by the turnover in the past. If Ohio State's not going to force the issue, that's thank you. That's great news. Yes,
that would be great.
And they're not necessarily a fantastic, they don't take a ton of threes. You know, they don't necessarily distribute the ball at an exceptional rate. They just, are basically, they're just really solid. You know, I don't know. They, at least they have an identity, something Michigan State doesn't have, but their identity is just being, they can outplay you at your game. This is what we've been seeing.
Yeah. And then, again, I think that that really boils down to a great job of coaching by Chris Holtman, because to take a team that, like you said, in all regards, like I would say of all the things you said, the only really impressive thing out of all of that is that they don't turn the ball over. Like you said, like they don't do anything particularly unique. They're not a particularly deep team. They're not a particularly big team. They're not a particularly fast team. They don't really have anything that they do that when you look at this team, you can define them by, aside from they're just really sound across the board. And to me, that's what you usually say about Michigan State. That's what you usually say about MSU, is that, listen, you don't know where it's going to come from necessarily, but it's going to come from somewhere. They're not going to beat themselves, da 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 da. Although recently, I feel like that not going to beat themselves does not apply to Michigan State, because last handful of years, they've been very willing to beat themselves. But I don't know. I'm just genuinely very impressed with him, because if, again, you had every reason to not do well this year if you're Ohio State. I mean, and yet you find yourself a top 10 team that has a very real chance at a one seed. So, and a conference championship. So yeah, this won't be an easy game for Michigan State. I think the only thing that I look at, again, kind of like you said, is they don't force the issue with turnovers. So if Michigan State decides to play a calm and competent game, make some shots, I think they've got a chance defensively. I'm not sure, you know, OSU doesn't throw any of those huge bodies at you. So the rebounding issue that you're going to run into with Coburn, you're not going to run into with Ohio State probably. So it's a little bit more, it's definitely a, I would say, a better matchup, but it's, you know, neither is good for MSU. So we'll see. I mean, listen, this is, we talked about auditions. Izzo's come out and said it. We already covered it. This would be a good week if you want to stick around to audition well, because you got a chance to show out against two damn good teams.
Exactly. Yeah. So if MSU wants to do anything, they need to snag one of these two before we can even begin to have a conversation about if next week is worth, you know, not saying
us recording.
Yeah. Who knows? But let's wrap that hoops talk for the moment, put it on the shelf, see if they come back and surprise us. And switch over to the big news on the football team. where that transfer portal is heating up Boston.
Oh, baby.
Last week you mentioned eight spots still available. One of those taken, I mean, from a surprising name, if only because of where he came from. I'll let you take it from here.
So, again, did this a couple weeks ago. Not sure if you can hear it, patting myself on the back. I did say this was a possibility last week. I said it was the least likely possibility, but we talked about specifically how linebackers were a position of, if not the most need on the team, certainly one of the biggest positions of need. And Mel Tucker wasted no time in addressing that with a guy named Ben Van Sumeren, who comes to you from Ann Arbor, Michigan. He is transferring from the University of Michigan and coming up the road to East Lansing. And yeah, in one of those exceedingly rare transfers where teams go from one rival to another, it's a big deal. I mean, I think it's a big deal on multiple fronts.
Does this complete the Warner trade?
Yeah, I think this is the player to be named later in the Ed Warner trade. Yeah. So, I mean, so let's just talk about the player. I mean, Van Sumeren actually came to Michigan as a fullback, but which first of all, love it. And again, going to Michigan as a fullback is kind of actually like, you shouldn't look at that and be disappointed, because Michigan actually, until they brought the offensive coordinator from Josh Gattis from Alabama, they actually used the fullback a lot. Previously they were running like 10 fullbacks at one time at one point. So
Ben Mason comes to mind.
Ben, absolutely. So as recently as last year, they were using a fullback, or 2 years ago, very, very often and effectively. But Van Sumeren is, you know, first of all, he was behind Ben Mason. And second of all, it was such a good athlete that he actually moved not only just a linebacker, but he moved over as a pass rushing kind of specialist. I don't think his numbers are particularly impressive, but he is very athletic. The type of dude who can get from sideline to sideline and honestly really kind of fits exactly what MSU is looking for in what they need from a linebacker. I mean, when you talked about what they've lacked at the position last year, Chase Klein, Noah Harvey, you know, aside from Antoine Simmons, obviously you didn't really have guys who could keep up with the offenses that like to go horizontally, the Dave Warners of the world. Those athletes that could get out into space, MSU just couldn't match them. Now, Van Sumeren, listen, he's not, you know, this five-star, crazy, huge mega get, but this is a guy who can take some of that away and is going to have a chance to contribute very early and very often. So from a player perspective, he's really what MSU is looking for. From a positional perspective, it is as big a get, in my opinion, on the transfer market as they've had from a positional perspective, because they desperately need linebackers. But I think there's some other really interesting elements to it too. I mean, the fact that he's coming from Michigan says a lot. I mean, that to me speaks volumes. Not necessarily that it's weird to see players leave Michigan, because it's certainly not, or any school for that matter, but to be willing to go right up the road says that you might not feel too great about the school, the staff and the people and everything that you're leading, and you're not leading on good terms. And when he posted that he, you know, was committed to MSU, he said, "You either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain." And I kind of absolutely loved that caption, because he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, that is something that's always been important to the Michigan State program, is taking that rivalry seriously and honestly, in a lot of ways, caring more than the people down the road. So I think that element to it is also extremely interesting. And the final element is that he has a younger brother, Alex Van Sumeren, who's a four-star defensive tackle recruit who was previously committed to Michigan, decommitted about a week before Ben decided to transfer, and is now very much on MSU, was before, but certainly is now continuing to be very much on Michigan State's radar. So it could, you know, what it says from a immediate future perspective is amazing. I think it's great. What it says about the future is even brighter. And just overall, it's hard not to get excited.
Austin, let's talk a little bit. We don't usually talk about recruits until they're committed, but I just think it's worth pointing out He is, as you mentioned, from the state of Michigan, but does have offers from Wisconsin, Texas A&M, Stanford, Oregon, Kentucky, Illinois, Clemson, and Bama.
I've heard of a few of them.
And then Penn State and Michigan State appear to be on the leaders for him. So, you know, I'll never pretend to know anything about recruiting, but I do know that it's rare when Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney miss. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. So, it again, and I think it just says, it says a lot about what Mel Tucker's out there selling. To be able to flip a guy from your immediate rival, I think says quite a bit. To be now chasing his younger brother, who is a national level recruit, says quite a bit. And to be taking advantage of these 8 spots that he's got remaining and not wasting any time, you know, again, says quite a bit. You know, if you look up and down that roster, we're talking about just a ton of opportunity there for all of these transfers that are coming in. And I think what it could do from a culture perspective and from a kind of jumpstarting the program is pretty exciting. So still some other big names out there. One that did come off the board that's worth noting today, the West Virginia defensive back ended up committing to Auburn. So he was one of those, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was a big time recruit that is going to end up going to Auburn. So that just tells you the level of guys that MSU is really, really concentrating on. So hopefully more to come on all of that here.
Awesome.
Pretty soon.
Question though.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ben Van Simmeren be bringing Joe Milton with him to East Lansing?
Listen, very few things would bring me the level of joy that Joe Milton coming to East Lansing and then beating Michigan would bring me.
That would be too much for me.
It's hard for me to even like wrap my head around how I would feel in the moment that he like rips off a 70-yard touchdown run or just drops like some huge bomb. Like the first minute he does that, like I can just, the delirium in Spartan Stadium would be unlike anything else. Like it would make Rocket and like the win against Notre Dame where Mousetrap, like all of those, it'd be child's play compared to the noises that would be coming out of Spartan Stadium.
Time out. So I will note the only time I've ever laughed, I think we talked about this, the only time I ever laughed myself to sleep was after the blocked punt for the win against Michigan. Joe Milton transferring to East Lansing and winning and like succeeding, like doing well, like getting the most out of him, using him correctly, that would just be high comedy. I think we both think he will very likely transfer and play immediately at some, maybe even major school, but it doesn't look like East Lansing, but boy, would that be high comedy.
I think there's a few things to take into account. First of all, he's good. Like he didn't play particularly well this year, but I do not think he was utilized 100% correctly. I think as soon as someone is willing to let him truly just run the read option and not ask him to drop back. And I don't know. I just feel like he's so physically talented. Like if he somehow did come to Michigan State and they just ran the same offense that kind of ran for Rocky Lombardi last year, I think he would have just an incredible amount of success because it would just be deep balls and runs. And I mean, good God, how much fun would that be? Like, and it wouldn't be just him coming to East Lansing. It would be like you said, if he succeeded and like beat Michigan and all of that stuff, like, I just don't know how you, like, I think that's a death blow for a program. Like, imagine if he just
wanted to play Ohio State, man.
Yeah. He just wants to play Ohio State. It's true. What a legacy Joe Milton is leaving behind. I don't know, man. That would be incredible. I do think I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think MSU filled the role with Russo and, you know, I think they are giving Peyton Thorne an actual chance. But that being said, if it came down to it and it happened, I would be so incredibly on board for potential alone. I'd be so incredibly on board.
I wonder if he'd get the Cam Newton treatment by the Free Press.
I mean, you'd have to think so, right?
Yeah, it tells me.
Go to his birthday party.
Something tells me no. Well, the portal season is open, and Austin will be – he checks it daily. I do know this. Austin is in there.
I'm deep in the portal. There's just no question about
it. I'm paying rent in the portal at this point.
If there was a premium prescription for the portal, which there might be, first of all, I need to become aware of it immediately. Second of all, I'd pay. But yeah, it's MSU still, like I said, still seven opportunities to add players to the roster. And I mean, I don't think Mel's going to get shy anytime soon. So we'll see. But yeah, football season started. What a concept.
Awesome. Well, we'll get back to you guys if we'll watch the games this week. Don't worry. And so if you don't feel like you want to put yourself through that, that's what we're here for. And the moment they win both and everyone's back on the train, we will.
Oh.
We'll pretend these episodes never happened.
Yeah, my I want to be very clear. If this team does manage to do that and we get some optimism, I am completely and totally walking away from everything I've said so far this season. Absolutely. I have reserved the right to completely flip my opinion and thus my credibility, of which there is none, at any given moment. And that is, if I'm told that's not available, that's not an option for me, I'll walk away.
I'm just going to claim it was a bit. Like this entire,
it's all been a bit.
It's just, we were,
your name's not even John.
Yep. This has all been a ruse.
I love it. Well, John, I think that's it. You got anything else?
No, I think MSU might just be silly enough to stay with Illinois. Let's see if that happens.
I like it. There's optimism there. You can feel it. I'll go the other way. I say there's a silly little chance that they'll hang with Ohio State. So if we combine our two little chances, maybe there's one thing.
Sure.
Whatever. All right. We'll see you guys next week when the mood is sure to be positive. For John, this has been awesome. We'll catch you guys later.
See ya.